Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern-day Asian-American woman. My name is Helen.
I'm Janet.
And I'm Mel.
Hi, everyone. We are back with another episode. Today is a Saturday, and we are currently at the Wong Fu office. Thank you to the Wong Fu team for letting us borrow your space to record. How are you guys feeling today?
I'm feeling okay. I'm coming down from a sickness, so I've been a little bit better, but hadn't been able to sleep the past couple of nights because I've been coughing phlegm up from my breathing canal.
Not being able to sleep is the worst. Yeah. Like multiple nights in a row, that really gets you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm a little bit better now. So last night I played Catan. That's my game, yo. We get so serious. But we like play and we like have like a glass of wine. It's nice. It's very chill. So I had a chill Friday night.
Wow. Who are you?
I know. I'm 30 something.
Jana's like, excuse me?
Yeah, I know. I spent my Friday night doing is this more or less exciting? Looking up health insurance plans for
wow.
Because I'm currently taking some time off work and I'm not planning to be unemployed for too long. But, you know, with the new law where it's like you'll be potentially get like a tax penalty if you're not covered. So I was on the interwebs doing a little bit of research.
What did you find?
So I think I'm actually going to go with Oscar, which is a brand that I went with in the past. It's pretty boring. Maybe we just take some time to talk about something else.
I have a lot of freelance friends that also use Oscar. I was looking into Oscar too when I was kind of in between health insurance.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's pretty good.
So I did that. And I also video chatted with my friend who's engaged and her fiance. They're in Chicago. So I spent like 2 hours video chatting with them.
Oh, that's fun.
It's a very different Friday night, I think, from what I would have been doing a couple of months ago even.
Actually, Jana was about to go with me last night.
I was. Yeah. I was on the fence, which actually then leads us to then what did you do last night, Miss
Melody? This is the life of 30s versus 20s. Yeah. Right now.
But it's funny because I feel like I like to lounge the most. So I'm surprised I went out last night. I had a few friends visiting from New York. So decided to go out to a bar. And honestly, I was leaning against staying at home because literally I was chatting with you too. And I was looking at baby videos on Instagram and I was sending you baby videos.
Oh, I appreciated those.
Yeah, right? I literally was looking at the baby videos. I'm just like, this is my Friday. But then I was like, you know what, let me go out. It's been a while since I put myself in a situation where like outside of my comfort zone, because the friends I were visiting, I didn't really know them that well. I met them a couple times through a mutual friend, but I was like, you know, the last time I remember going out with someone that I didn't know as well was actually Helen back in 2015.
Oh my gosh. I know. Wait, that is 5 years ago.
Wow. Exactly.
Wow.
So I was like, you know what, let me just go out and meet some people. So last night was really fun. I had no excuse to, because the bar literally was 5 minutes away from my house. I was like, you know what, might as well just do it. And I had a really good time. I can't handle my alcohol anymore, to be honest. Mm. I had like 3 drinks and I feel like crap right now.
Oh, no. Aww.
I know, but it's okay.
You have your coffee next to you.
Thanks to Helen.
Hydrate. And your bottle of water.
Bottle of water. Yeah. And I have these ladies here.
There's also a trash can next to you if you need it. Just kidding, there isn't.
I'll bring one over. Yeah, but so today we're actually going to be talking about... No, we're not talking about anything. Today we're answering your questions. So we asked you guys on social media, I think 2 days ago, to see if you have any questions for us. We do this every season, so why not do
Let's
it
Let's jump in. Yeah, yeah, and we do have this sort of split into different topics. We have an ABG section. We have a dating section. We have a college, careers, finances, your personal style, and then just a bunch of random stuff. So I feel like we talk about this stuff a lot, but y'all still have questions for us. So let's dive right in. Starting with the ABG one. That's fun, since we are that. any rituals or traditions before every recording? We high-five each other.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
Any rituals? We test our mics.
You do. We get books to stack our mic on top.
We do. Our setup actually is still the same. I don't know if that's like a ritual, but from the first day we recorded, we used shoeboxes and books, and we're still using the same mics and the same spit guards and our own personal laptops.
Is that lack of progress or is that a ritual now?
It's not during recording, but we have a ritual before every event we go to now.
Yes.
We always like to hide away in the bathroom where all three of us could be by ourselves and kind of like
pee together at the same time. What? Just kidding. I don't know. I'm in a really weird mood today.
I was like, what? Wait, what'd you say? Pee
together at the same time.
I was like, what are you?
Like, we time it. Like, 1, 2, 3, go.
Yeah, hell is weird right
Maybe
now.
Maybe next time.
But we, like, kind of come together and we, like, hold hands and, like.
Not while we're peeing together.
We're not that
creating
close.
Visuals for people right now. Like, you have really long arms that just, like, extend. Oh, yeah, no, you can. Stuff. You could. Because you can always reach under. You for sure can.
Okay, let's not do that.
This question this answer is turning into a very different question.
I think now we might do that one day.
Oh, God.
But yeah, that is a ritual for us because I feel like that is a way that we kind of center ourselves. As much as we love, love, like one of our favorite things is meeting people, it still makes us nervous every time we have to mm-hmm. go out and do some sort of introduction or speaking in front of a group of people. So it's a way for us to be like, it's just us now. Let's get back to like what this is, how this started, and then be ready to go out and meet everyone. Second question.
What did you surprise yourself most?
What part of ABG surprised us individually the most, I guess?
I mean, I think for me, it's the fact that I think the three of us have always felt very normal, mm-hmm. just like such normal girls who worked 9-to-5 jobs, 9-to-5 plus jobs. And we never felt like we had something very special to say. Mm-hmm. Nothing more unique than someone else who might have already put content out there. And I think the fact that we are able to continue doing this with the support of everyone out there listening, that is the thing that has surprised me the most. Y'all care about what we say. Y'all yeah. care about these answers to your questions. That's pretty cool.
No, that is very true. I would say I was so ultra focused in like my career being, or like my kind of 9-to-5 job being the way that I would maybe like have impact on people, mm-hmm. And did not expect that, something like a podcast or any type of media outlet and like a side project that turns into a business and a community, which is like the most important thing. Yeah, I would so second to that.
Dang, I'll send third it too. Can I third it?
Yeah,
third,
you can yeah. third whatever you want.
Yeah, I think for me it's because I do feel like, it's like what Helen said, we're very normal. I guess for me what surprises me about ABG is that like I feel very privileged and honored that like what we say people want to listen, but sometimes it doesn't really click in me that like, wow, you guys really truly believe in what we have to say, because it's just like we feel so normal all the time. And even seeing responses in person, like some people are like, oh my God, like you guys are ABG. And I'm just like, I'm Mel. Like I feel like I'm like you. Like, I don't feel anything any special, any different than anyone that we meet. So when they react that way, I'm just like, holy shit. It's a really weird and also like cool feeling to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say like getting a very tangible thing that surprised me about ABG. I still remember like when we first released, I think our first episode, within like a week we got emails. And the first time that we got like a super lengthy email, and it was followed by like two other ones within the same like day. And mm-hmm. I was just like, whoa. That really took me by surprise very yeah. immediately.
The moment that surprised me a lot is when we were in Boston, that girl came up and she didn't say anything. She started crying. And I was like, whoa. Like, I didn't understand that. Like, I didn't understand the comfort.
That we provide.
Yeah, because I go to other things for comfort. Like, I watch vlogs. It makes me feel good. Right. But I didn't know that we actually provided that for someone mm-hmm. else.
That is a big moment of surprise. I feel like when someone comes up to you and they're moved to tears because they feel so, like, that you fulfilled or that you've provided such value for them in a way that it was, like, comfort when they were really lonely or, like, scared or going through change.
I think it's also that aspect of like relatability to people that you listen to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, meeting your big sisters, right?
Yeah.
Like imagine not knowing who your big sister is and it's like, oh, there she is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I could see why.
Okay. So the next question is, what are you proud of yourself for individually and as a group?
This is a very broad question. How about what are you proud of yourself for this past week?
Oh, okay. I'm proud of myself because this is the first week I went back to the gym after a 3-month hiatus.
Did you pay for the Equinox gym for 3 months and not go? Girl, I am going to take your pass.
In my defense, it's because literally we were slammed with ABG. Yeah. Like I had barely any time for myself.
I fell off of the yoga thing as well. And I also paid membership and was pretty absent. So.
I want to take both y'all passes. Don't worry. Use my time that I don't have to go.
It literally felt like I could hear my mom be like, what the fuck? Like every time I didn't go, I'm like, I know, mom, I'm sorry. Because like I know how much money things cost and everything. But no, back on a positive note, I'm very happy I went back to the gym because I felt like I was creating a routine back for myself that I lost the past few months. Mm-hmm. And I challenged myself to take a new class, which I never do. I took a HIIT class for the first time. And let me just tell you, I struggled. I literally was like, oh, I'm going to get water to my friend. And I stood outside for 10 minutes. I couldn't do it. But I'm happy I made it. At least I went to the class and I made it through the whole session.
That's the biggest. That's like the biggest thing.
Showing up.
Show up. Yeah. And HIIT is high intensity.
Yeah. HIIT is. I hate HIIT. And I like am fairly. I'm like moderately active and I don't like HIIT workouts. And you went to an 8 a.m. class. That is like on a weekday. That's a win in and of itself. I don't care what the class was.
That's true. Yeah. I'm sore right now, but that is my win for the week. How about you two?
This is like a really small thing, but like getting up early to cook breakfast.
Yes.
Because I normally don't eat breakfast, but I feel like my metabolism has been kind of weird. I want to have more consistent poops. And I feel
good goal to have.
Yeah. And I feel like with breakfast, I've been trying to get up a little bit earlier around 8 a.m. so that at least I'm eating breakfast by like 9-ish. Mm. And instead of just grabbing a bar, which I used to do all the time, like one of those RX bars I used to eat all the time. Now I'm like, let's make some eggs. Let's do like 2 eggs in there, reinforce it with a carton of egg whites because I love egg whites. Mm-hmm. So I add the egg whites in there.
Oh, that's cool.
And then like add spinach and turn it into a wrap or something. And it just feels like a nice moment in the morning when you like, I'm not hungry in the morning, but I think I'm just kind of experimenting with my body to see how reactive it is to kickstarting your morning off with breakfast in the morning instead of just coffee. And it's actually, I've pooped like twice a day now.
Wow.
Like pretty fully too.
Dang.
Not like little droplets, but like
substantial.
I feel like good too. Mm. So it's that's, I think that I'm pretty proud of myself for doing that.
Yeah.
The past week.
Do you also cook for Phil or is it just for you?
Yeah. I'll leave him some too. He wakes up a little bit later, but I'll leave it for him too.
We can check in with Phil about his poops.
Yeah. What a nice moment to have in the morning too. I know how the lighting is at your apartment. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like a little sacred like time to yourself before you start your like busy day. Mm-hmm.
Totally. I think that versus rushing getting up and you have no moment, like having breakfast and sitting down before going into the office, like that.
And also re-journaling again. So when I eat breakfast, I'm also journaling.
Oh,
in the morning.
That's a good way. Yeah. It's a good way to get in that time as well.
How about you, Janet?
Mine's maybe a little random, but I went on a couple of dates recently and it was the first time that I actually felt like I really connected with someone.
Mm.
Unfortunately, realized that he was still kind of like dating other people and I wasn't really comfortable with that. Not just dating, but it was actually more specifically like being physical. And this is a whole other topic we could talk about, right? Like in terms of the process of dating and how to manage being physical or intimate and not. And I know for sure I'm looking for a serious relationship and that I'm not comfortable after a certain point if I have an emotional connection with you. I'm not comfortable with you being physical with other people. And in the past, I've always desired this. I would desire a long-term relationship, but then if there was still like chemistry, I would choose the immediate comfort, which is just to choose to continue to date you and be physical with you, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the first time that I was actually able to like have a conversation with the person and be like, it's not an ultimatum, but like, I like you and I'm not comfortable with you dating other people. And if you're not okay with that or like, then maybe we shouldn't like see each other anymore.
Confident woman.
I know.
Yes, girl.
And and then he was really sweet about it. You know, he was just like, you know, okay, like, I really like you. I'd be okay with still like kind of developing a friendship. But I'm like, but if you're still going to see other people, I'm not going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a mutual understanding and a separation. Yeah. So I'm proud of myself for that. I feel like that kind of a big change in my approach in dating. So
I'm so proud of you for like standing your ground, vocalizing what you and advocating for yourself and saying like, okay, if you're going to continue doing this, I can't be here.
Yeah.
As much as you also want it to be.
Yeah.
Because
you
felt that connection and it's hard to find that connection.
Yeah. I think also the feeling of the butterflies and it's being like intimate someone, it's kind of like an addicting feeling because it feels so good. It's hard hard to cut yourself off from that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, damn, Janet, like she laid it out.
I tried. We'll see.
No, you're doing really well.
And the fact that you have another date tomorrow.
I have another date tomorrow. We'll see. I'm really trying to put more effort into this whole dating thing for 2020, which is hard. It's hard to kind of try to be, because to date effectively, you have to be vulnerable and emotionally open, but you also, you know, you don't want to be an emotional mess. So trying to walk that fine line.
Next question here. What guest did you interview that surprised you the most?
I feel like different guests have surprised me for different reasons. Like two people pop in my head. One is Nadia.
Yeah. That's the one I was thinking about too.
I had a feeling because I think she's blew all three of us away with how, damn, she's just so powerful and at her, and she's so successful for such a young age. I remember all of us walking and we were like, damn, dude, this girl is like, she's coming in hot. And I don't remember being that ambitious at that age. She's like making shit happen.
Yeah.
And I think she blew us away. Just everything. Her presence, her drive, her sense of like self-confidence too. She's someone that surprised me in a like very like positive, like, oh shit, like I feel your power way. Another person actually is Simu. I didn't know he had to go through all that like random jobs before he found like a really good solid role. And the fact that he actually had to like sell dog food or give dog food away and ran to his like coworker at his corporate job. I'm like, ooh, I can only imagine like that kind of feeling. Mm-hmm. So that surprised me. How about you two?
I'm thinking about those two also, actually. Like Simu, the fact that he was so scrappy and just his journey to get to where he was. And also starting from a place that is very familiar, I think, to a lot of people of Asian descent and backgrounds. I think that was a really, really good episode. He's an incredible interviewee too, because he's very intellectual, used big words on us. I thought you said chocolate-ite. See, that's one,
Don't you think you're like a snout of a pig?
I do now.
I do.
We don't read the dictionary for fun at all.
And then Nadia also blew me away because she is so young. And when she like came into our recording space, she did seem kind of like a little bit shy. And then just like when a mic's turned on, she was just going on. I was dang, girl. Yeah. And she is doing a lot of things to impact the community and bringing a lot of awareness to the periods and the period movement too. So props to her.
Yes. I second everything that you guys said. Same thing. Next question. What's your biggest fear with ABG in the future? Where do you see ABG going in the future?
Ooh. That's a loaded question.
Yeah. I have just a very immediate gut answer. Mm. I would say, like we kind of talked about in our previous episodes with like a reflection on 2019 and also our goals for 2020, ABG has like really, really like tripled, I guess, like in activity over the last like year. And I think that's amazing. But then it's like the other side of that is like we have to keep up with it and we have to be able to sustain it. And I just have sometimes I get a general just like anxiousness or like the fear of not being able to keep up or like do it justice.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that too. Do it justice, but in a less of a I'm worried about the activity, because I do feel like we'll get to a place where we can manage that activity, not just amongst ourselves and our current team, but like expanding our team. And I'm excited for that part of it. I think the doing it justice part scares me a little bit because with our name, there does hold a lot of broadness to it, like Asian boss girl. There's so much under that. Mm-hmm. And I hope that we can fulfill that and be a good representation of that. And that's the doing justice part of it that I'm a little like, ooh, what if we, you know, aren't good representations of it? And that's the whole imposter syndrome feeling, I guess, kicking in a little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you both. I think another thing for a fear is, this is my people pleaser side coming out, is that people are like asking us three, so what's next or what's going on? Because I think people have this expectation that they see our growth and they're like, so when are you guys going full time? And all three of us are just like, let's talk about it first amongst us three and see where it goes. I'm very flattered that they see so much potential and growth for ABG. But at the same time, it's like, I also think about, what if we don't meet your expectations of what you think we are, you know, because we're so busy doing other things. I think for me, it's like figuring out like, because we talk about making this something like full time or making this more like a long term thing. And I'm like, well, when do I pull the trigger to be like, all right, do I leave my job? And I can't see myself doing that. I'm also afraid like financially, like, I think people assume that we're, like, making a shit ton of money from ABG. I'm like,
we are not.
Let's just say, like,
I had a labor of love. It's still a labor of love.
Yeah, they're like, oh, you guys don't, like, make, like, you guys can't sustain. I'm like, we can't sustain a lifestyle.
We can't sustain a pet right now.
No, seriously. So I think for me, just, like, that fear of, like, if we were to make the jump, what does that mean for all of us three individually? Because we do have a lifestyle. We have an income right now. Hold Janet.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, I would say it with Mel, like, I mean, with Helen, it's like the idea of being able to fulfill that. But I think my tendency is to think a little bit like immediately, what are we going to do in like the next 6 months? And then also a year and 2 years. And I have a little bit of a fear of like, what does that activity look like and how to make that work? Like, I can't quite solve that problem in my head. And that makes me feel a little anxious. I know with the three of us, like, we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. But it's like when I can't quite see it on my own, I'm like, fuck, I don't know. Like, what, how are we going to do this?
Don't worry, we got you. I have a lot of confidence. I don't know where it's coming from.
It's the coffee. Yeah. All right. So the next question is, can we take a picture with you guys if we see you?
Hell no.
That's her way of saying yes.
It's the coffee speaking.
Helen's just kidding, by the way.
Yes, I am absolutely kidding. Absolutely. Please take a picture. Yeah. It's so much better when people ask us to take a picture rather than – sometimes I could tell when people want to and then like they don't want to and then I go up to them like,
you're trying to –
You know? And it makes me feel awkward. Please come up to us.
You want to take a picture with me? Well, for me, I'm like, yeah, of course. Just put a filter on me, please.
Put a filter on you.
Because sometimes I literally don't give a – like, I walk around and like no makeup and then someone goes, oh, aren't you? I'm like, oh, crap. I don't have any makeup on, but it's okay.
But in all seriousness, like, we love it when you guys are interacting with us and say hi and like let us know your favorite episodes and what you like about ABG and also like what you want to see in ABG in the future, you know, things like we will literally take that back to the team. And we also like share the pictures with the team like, oh, look who I you know, I bumped into a fan and it makes us feel really good. So please, please stop us to take pictures with us if you see us. Next question here. Best part about being Asian?
I can say about being Asian American, for me, as I've gotten older, I really do appreciate having like a mixed cultural background or having kind of ethnically coming from one culture and then being brought up in another. There's a lot of like unloading there, right, in terms of pros and cons, but ultimately that's something that I've think is like really enriching and mm-hmm. allows you to see the world in different ways and to have a greater sense of empathy for different perspectives.
I think my favorite part right now about being Asian American, we are literally in this movement for Asians coming up, and it feels like still a very small community mm-hmm. to the point where we're only like one degree or 2 degrees away from like Sandra Oh's or mm-hmm. Awkwafina's of the world, right? And they're the ones that have gotten Golden Globes. Like, it's crazy the fact that we're in such a tight community. Or the downside of it is that whenever you're sort of like coming up, there's still that period of feeling you're still not there yet. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when you feel the motivation, but also you're questioning if you're doing the right things, and mm-hmm. there's still like doubt and there's still fear, but there's that like motivation and that fire under our butts. So that's, I feel like, where we are as Asian Americans. And I feel very much like we're part of that community too.
Mm. I feel like there's a lot of stereotypes or like saying like, oh, Asian, like you grow up with strict parents and all this stuff, but something about understanding the different nuances of being like having our families from a different country, I love hearing the stories that come out from their childhood, their customs that they're implemented into our life, like the Asian America, like being a blend of both cultures is really cool. To be honest, I love the food. I think growing up, I used to always want like French fries and all the American stuff, but like I love Asian food. Like mm-hmm. I love the food that comes out of our countries. It's amazing. It tastes so good. And like now when I eat it, it feels like a sense of home.
Mm-hmm. Love being Asian.
Sorry.
One trait or characteristic that one of the girls has that you'd like for yourself or that you admire.
Silence.
I would say one automatically, I feel like Mel and I have kind of different personalities. I think in terms of like, she's very extroverted. I think you very easily, like if you wake up and you want to talk to someone, you'll just like FaceTime them, right? Yeah. And I'm like really not that way. Like I tend to be more like when people reach, I love having conversation with people, but I'm not good at initiating. So a lot of my like phone calls or chats or catch-ups with people are like when they initiate. Mm. So I wish I had that kind of like just like ease of being able to just kind of put myself out there.
I would say the same for Mel, because I do feel like for me, it is, I feel like you're very good at like expressing your emotions or your thoughts, even though you say sometimes like, I don't think I said that correctly. I'm like, dude, that like came out really, really well. But you do a really good job of just like expressing yourself. And I feel more reserved in that sense. So that is something that I do admire a lot about you.
Oh, that's really nice. Love this.
And then for Janet, I feel like the thing that I admire the most is like how put together, mm-hmm. in a sense, you are. I don't know if you like when I say that, but I think you come off as very level-headed, very fair. Like you can express yourself in a different way than Mel, mm-hmm. but I think in a very eloquent way that like I can't. And so it's like always traits that I feel like I lack in that I admire the most in you mm-hmm. guys, right, externally. And that's the thing that I take away that I'm like, dang, I wish I could be that as like eloquent and put together as like Janet is.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing you. Same. I think for Janet, especially like me and Helen joke around, I'm like, oh, we need Janet because she helps us package. Like you say things in a way that's just like comes off so smooth and you have like the voice of an angel. But in general, I feel like you're really dependable too. Mm-hmm. I think you're very consistent with how you are as a friend. And I feel like I can always count on you to be there. You have a sense, you have a way of empowering my decisions. And when mm-hmm. I'm like, when I'm feeling low, but also giving really sound and solid advice. Someone who's wise is talking to me.
Yeah. Like a big sister sense.
Yeah. Aww. No, for sure. And then Helen, wait, one thing I noticed with you right away that I'm like, dang, she's really good at. I think the fact that I am emotional, I could overreact sometimes. It's very apparent when I'm stressed, but you're actually very, you never come off stressed. You're very easygoing. Like even I remember traveling with Asia, I was like, we're lost in this cab. And she literally was like helicopter. Told the driver, we're going here. And like, you're very, your temperament's very consistent.
Measured, yeah.
But at the same time, you all, like, I feel like you have Janet's way of expressing yourself and being composed. But at the same time, you also have a level of like a very funness to you. Is that a word? Like, I always kind of Helen have a good time and not be like, oh, she's one of those dramatic. No, she's like really, you're like very well-rounded.
Yeah, yeah.
Biggest smile on my face. Yeah. Cheesy.
I was going to say, you handle stress very well. Like, even when we have our meetings and it gets really, like, I feel like when we get in those moments of executing, I get very, like, straight with, like, what shit needs to be done. Let's just do the shit.
Yeah.
And I feel like you do that, but then you'll, like, make a random noise on the side.
Yeah.
Like, you know? Or even, like, in the messages, like, you're having fun.
No, that's right. That's but, what I, no, that's so fucking true.
But that, and it's, like, without that, there would be, like, you have the thing that cuts the air of, like, intensity and makes it, like, a good so time. True. Because otherwise, I was like, we're both like, we got to get this shit done. We got like 3 hours of work ahead of us. It's like 10 p.m. Yeah. And then you're like, meep.
She goes, meep. Or like, no, that's true.
But then, but you're still like kind of on. And yeah, I do. Because I feel like it's like, you know how to get shit done, but you're having a good time. We had talked about previously about your like innate built-in optimism, and I think that's where it comes from, that you choose to like not focus on the negative, or you anything that is like challenging, you see the blessing in that or something, and then you kind of just take it. So like that's a
that's all captured in the sound.
It's so true, because like I think Janet, me and you, we were more on the we're more stressed, I think, about stuff, but you kind of like quiet, like I could tell on your face.
I kind of internalize the stress.
But for me, I like get really flustered and all this stuff. And I was telling another friend, I said, Helen's the only person in my life that could literally calm me down with just being there and like cuts the tension easily. Because everyone else that I work with would be like, they'll stress me out even more. But Helen has a way of like diffusing adding a sense of humor that makes it like, oh, like, then all of a sudden, like, I have a good time.
I never knew I did that.
No, thanks, for sure.
Aww.
So I was like, it's a face too.
And it's like a neck movement.
And the hand. She does.
I'm very confused right now, but I love this. I love it. I'm going to now be very aware of this.
No, please.
Or let me know when that happens, because I don't notice that. I think
we'll show you next time.
Comes out.
Know what it is, dude? Helen's never annoyed.
Yeah. Oh, I am annoyed. Are you kidding me?
In our meetings, you never come off annoyed.
Oh, that's because we're like getting stuff done.
Yeah. You don't take things personally when the work comes, or you don't get personally attached to it. So you're very like, this is the thing that needs to be done. Yes. And then you're willing to kind of just,
Yeah. That's very true.
Asian Boss Girl is brought to you by Skillshare. Make 2020 a year where you explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity with classes from Skillshare. Learn about illustration, design, photography, video, freelancing, podcasting, and more.
In this episode, we talked about what we've been proud of, building in routines, particularly for wellness and health. With Skillshare, you can look up a wide variety of classes, like creating a perfect morning routine, meditating for beginners, or breakfast basics, healthy and easy recipes.
Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/ABG and get 2 free months of premium membership. That's right, Skillshare is offering Asian Boss Girl listeners 2 free months of unlimited access to thousands of classes. To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/ABG. Again, go to Skillshare.com/ABG to get your 2 free months of premium membership. That's Skillshare.com/ABG.
All right, our next category is dating. First question is, would you guys date someone younger and how much?
Ooh.
I did the young thing before. I mean, I tell
you. The young thing? Actually, Mel, you did. You shared about your college experience as a senior dating a freshman. You freaking cougar.
I know everyone used to be like, oh, Mel, you need to put a tip in the cougar jar. I'm like, shut up.
A tip in the what?
In my meeting.
I was thinking about like your tip, but you don't have a tip. And I know. I was like, oh, a tip.
I don't know why, but back in my college org, and everyone used to joke around during my e-board meetings. We're like, oh, here comes Mel, the cougar. Everyone like does like this like tip. Like,
oh, my God.
They did this weird handle.
Oh, yeah, like the rar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
Rar. And my ex-boyfriend was 1 year younger than me. I know it's only 1 year, but I think since I've already dated younger, I would like to date older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I haven't really done that.
Mm-hmm.
So for me,
But how young would you go as of now?
Maybe a year.
A year?
Or two. I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't think that age defines maturity, but I think the fact that my ex was 1 year younger and there's a huge, for me, it's like there's a gap in maturity. I was like, oh, man. It kind of turned me off to the idea of dating someone younger, but I'm not against it.
What's on your dating like age range that you've
your
set?
Filter?
Yeah. I do my age, so 28 to like I guess 35.
Oh, so
that's
28.
A good range.
Hmm? You wouldn't go younger then.
I would do probably 1 year.
Okay.
So like 27 to 35 is here. That's a good.
Yeah, for anyone out there.
Well, Helen, you're not. Well, you're engaged now.
I know, but if I were dating, how much younger?
Yeah.
This is fun to think about. maybe I would say maybe like 30. I think once you get back into the 20s, it kind of feels a little too young.
Yeah.
So like 30 and above, I think I'd be okay with.
You're 31, right?
I'm 32.
32. Oh.
Now. Yeah. So 30, I think. Usually after guys hit 30, I feel like they've reached a level of maturity. And this is like speaking very like on average generally, that they're like ready kind of to settle down. And I don't know about that actually.
I have different
experience. That is not true. Yeah. The guys we've been talking to and our not friends, true. I'm like,
I would still say 30.
You know, it's really funny. I can always envision Helen being one that like, if she were single, she'd be dating like that 24-year-old like basketball star.
What? I don't know.
I could see that too.
So actually, your range would be 6 years. Oh, okay. So you actually could see her with younger versus older.
I could see her both, but there's
I have friends that I could see them with a younger dude because of the energy.
Energy, like, that's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I see.
Like, you're fun-loving, so you probably, if the guy could bring that fun-loving and, like, activity.
But he also has to be, like, mature and, like, knows what he wants and, like, all that shit.
That'd just be, so. I guess you're just, like, casually, like, dating him. Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, maybe he's not the person that you would, like, right. marry, but if you were casually dating.
Okay, I guess 24.
How about Janet?
My filter right now is set at, I think, like, 2 years younger than me, 32, and then up to, like, 42. So I have a 10-year range. I'm 34. Mm-hmm. I think because of my particular age being in, like, closer to mid-30s and then also my particular dating goals of wanting to, like, find a life partner, I don't want to go too young. I'm not, like, opposed. If I were to meet someone and there was a connection and they were a lot younger, I would be okay with that. But I would say generally, like, my experience is guys who are going to be looking for a more serious commitment, that usually doesn't happen until closer in their mid-30s, on average, very generally, right? But I would go younger if it's, like, if I meet someone and it happens to click. Yeah. But I would say generally, on average, I'm usually dating, like, my age or older. Mm.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like neither of you are, like, closed off completely to that 24-year-old basketball guy either. Yeah. I'm just saying.
She wants to live through us. That's what she said.
She wants to what?
She wants to live
vicariously through
us. All right, the next one is current woman crush or inspiration. I'll go first. I think my current woman crush is someone like an Awkwafina. And I know it's like she's big in the news right now. She's everywhere. She's doing. But I think it's more like the fact that she doesn't seem to be like buying into like the beauty standards of Hollywood type thing where she can completely just still be herself.
Yeah,
sure, she's not rapping about like vaginas anymore right now, but like I still feel a sense of like genuineness coming from her and just her still representing herself. And I think that is ultimately the goal, right? To be yourself and to be accepted for yourself. And if we can get there one day, that'd be pretty damn cool. How about you, ladies?
I don't know why this came to mind, but is her name Rooney Mara or Mara Rooney? Do you guys remember? She was the girl with the dragon tattoo. She was the actress for that.
Oh, yeah.
So she's engaged or dating Joaquin Phoenix, and the both of them have been more prominent in media for kind of like promoting like animal welfare. And there's something about their dynamic and them as people and also the kind of roles that she chooses as an actress. I don't know why I went to media, but just... Yeah, something about her demeanor and her values was really interesting to me. But my constant crush is Lady Gaga. And I recently listened to an episode that she had with Oprah.
So good.
I listened to it too after Janet recommended
She's been speaking out about mental health a lot. And I just respect her a lot as an artist and as a person. And I love that she's using her platform and this stage of her career to really focus on having like impact and making a positive impression on the world.
I actually wrote my girl crush down and I wrote why I liked her so much so that I could empower myself to be more like her.
When did you write this down?
I said, I want to be like Lisa Ling. And I wrote down because she's really worldly. She's well-spoken, speaks in a calm, collective voice. I think it's very opposite of how I come off. She's very highly educated, has opinions on topics. And I think that I just see the way she raised her daughters. She's the kind of mother I'd want to be too. There's a lot of reasons why I just like really look up to Lisa Ling. So when you guys met her at one of the events, I literally was like freaking out. Because she's always been like someone I always saw in media growing up. I felt like a strong presence, but I didn't know what it was. And I realized it's because she was Asian American and she's so eloquent. That I wish to be someone like her.
Yeah. She follows us on Instagram.
I know.
How crazy is that? Hello, Lisa, if you're listening.
So Lisa's, I guess, one of my inspirations.
Next question. How do you all feel about the expectation for women to take their husband's last name?
I feel like right now, not a lot of women I know actually are taking their husband's names. I think that's totally fine. We're living in a modern time, so... Yeah. I don't feel like there's an expectation for that. But I'm not also dating, so I don't know if my future husband wants me to take his last name.
I agree. I've seen a growing trend of women kind of keeping their last names, and especially if they have kind of an identity through their profession already with their last name. The one thing that I always think about, though, is like if you do have kids, it can get kind of tricky, like whose last name does the kid take? And then does that get confusing for them as a family? I don't know. Helen, what do you think? Because you are like about to... Do you want have to have this happen and make this decision?
I would agree with Janet. Like, I think the only reason why I'd want to take my husband's last name is so that there's like a family name for your kids when you have kids. But I do kind of want to like hyphenate my last name. Mm. And I think some people put it in like their middle names or they might hyphenate it. Wu Wang would be my last name, I guess.
You want to be Wu Wang?
How crazy is that? Wu Wang fan. But like my coworker, she has two kids, and her first kid took the last name of her husband, and the second one takes her last name. Oh. And she like kind of doesn't care that they have different last names. But I'm thinking like, what if they're in the same class and they have different last names, but then they're like brothers and sisters? Yeah, or are they coming from different parents? Mm-hmm, or like, you know, like that gets a little bit messy. So I think for me, I totally respect her for doing that. I'm like, that's amazing that you kept your own last name and you named your daughter after your last name. Like, that's a modern day woman move. Like, go you, right? But I don't know if I would particularly do that, but I think it's cool if you do.
So you're leaning towards doing Wu Wang?
I think so.
Helen Wu Wang.
Yeah. So then would your kids take Wu Wang as well?
Do you take the Wu Wang?
I mean, like, you know, when you name, like, would they're legally, would it be also Wu / Wang?
Yeah, no. That's something I still need to talk to my fiance about.
Or Phil could take your last name, too. So I have a friend that got married, and they both hyphenated both their last name and took that.
Yeah, that's another thing I've seen done commonly as well. Yeah.
But they have a nice ring to it. Like, they're both Armaz fan versus, like, I don't know.
Versus what, Wu Wang?
Now that I think about it more, I think I might be more traditional and want to take the husband's last name, which is, I actually have never really thought about this.
What if he has a really ugly sounding last? That's fucked up. I
should have said that. I don't know why that came to mind. My random sounds.
If the question was more about what do you feel about the expectation, I think there's less of an expectation nowadays, and I think that's awesome. But then it's like every person's right to kind of choose what they want. And I think I would go with the husband's last name. But yeah, I think that's pending on what is his last name. I hope it's not ugly.
Nope. Okay, that's not weird. No offense. But I also think we're so used to our last name. It has a nice ring, like Janet Wang, Melody Chang, Helen Wu. I can't see it any other way in a weird way. Yeah.
We'll see.
Going on a first date with a 35-year-old guy. I am 25. Any tips? This is from one of our listeners. Ooh, okay. So you're going on a date with a guy who's 10 years older. Any tips?
I think the only tip, because I think if I were her at that age, I would be like, oh, I would really want to try to come off as mature, all these things, because I know he's older. But at the end of the day, just be authentically yourself, because that's what's going to matter in the end. He'll know if you're trying to be someone you're not. Our friends who are 35, there's a keen awareness developed. So just be you, and he'll fall in love with that. If not, you'll find someone else.
I think that's a very good tip, Mel. Yeah. She would be going into a position where maybe she's going to be more nervous and trying to impress. Mm-hmm. And if you're planning to go long-term dating, you can only hold up a facade for so long, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's better to kind of be authentically yourself. And I would also say you are kind of not interviewing, but like you're dating, you're evaluating him too. So I would be critical about what it is that you're looking for at the age of 25 in dating, and can he provide you that?
Mm. All right. So our last question for dating is, Helen, does it feel different to be engaged?
I mean, I am constantly worried about my ring. I'm constantly feeling my finger for it and freaking myself out. I feel like there's like almost this like invisible veil of like security also with the engagement, where it's like, now I'm really weird and you have to accept me for me kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I feel
he
like
trapped his ass already.
Yeah. But I feel like he trapped my ass too. I feel like he's also being a little more weird. And I'm like, I kind of like this. Yeah. I don't know. It just feels like another sense of like closeness, I guess, which I guess is the point of an engagement to like secure your relationship a little bit more, because it's almost like a promise to each other, I guess. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's like the same. We're inundated. Actually, no, we're not, because we're not doing shit right now. With, like, wedding stuff, that's on our minds, and we're going to meet tomorrow about it to actually, like, start planning things out. Because it's been, like, almost 2 months, and we kind of haven't done anything yet, other than going dress shopping, which was really fun with you two ladies. But other than that, I don't know. I guess a slight sense of security, more just, like, weirdness, and, yeah, wedding planning.
I'm so excited. for you guys, I mean.
Yeah, what else are you excited for?
To attend.
Mel's definitely living vicariously through all the activity.
I literally sent Helen an email with 20 links to venues.
And I emailed all of them.
Wow, you did?
I did, but I still have to, I've gotten so many emails back and I just need to like go through all of it, but yeah.
It sounds so overwhelming.
I know.
Yeah. But you got this. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
But shit, Helen's really good at executing.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. You got this. You got this.
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
Okay, the next section of questions, we're going to touch upon the topic of college. The first question goes to Mel. How was Mel's community college experience?
That's a good question. We never asked you that before.
I think it depends on the person you are. Because for me, my mindset was like, I can't wait to transfer out. It felt like a very transition school. I really enjoyed it because I liked the classes I took. The teachers there are actually really great. And I think sometimes you could assume that like community college education isn't as thorough or as thought out as like university level. But I learned a lot at community college. So I think definitely take advantage of that. This is actually your time to figure out what you like to do, because I think you're not spending as much money as you would at a UC or like at a bigger college. So I felt like I actually found out my major then versus like at a university. But I will say that like sometimes being in community college, you really have to push yourself, because it's very easy to be stuck there and have the excuse like, oh, I'll just take another year. Oh, I'll do another year. And I have a lot of friends who actually like stayed for 4 years because they're trying to figure out what they want to do, which is fine. Like, everyone's on their own timeline. But for me, I was like, no, I really want to get out in 2 years. I think I really enjoyed it. But at the same time, like, I'll admit, when I was there, I kind of felt I was missing out because all my friends went to UC and went to like a 4-year college. I felt like I wasn't quote unquote smart as them, or like there's like a prestige going to university versus like starting at a community college. So I felt like kind of ashamed a little bit when I was there to say, oh, I go to community college, because people assume that like I actually didn't try hard in high school, because like when you go to community college, it doesn't matter what your GPA is. Anyone could go. And so for me, I remember talking to my mom, my brother, said, you know what, like, I'm going to try my hardest in high school to maintain my grades, because if I let it falter now, I'm going to do the same in community college. I won't get out and go to a good university. So I think really pushing yourself is like something I had to do. It's developing like strong willpower and strong work ethic to like get yourself out. But overall, I'm happy. I saved a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's great. I mean, what you touched upon there is you're very self-motivated, which is it continues to show through in terms of how we know you now, right?
Trying. So the next question is, how did you learn in school? I feel like I'm studying wrong. It's hard for me to retain information.
Ooh, I feel like this is a hard one. My dad actually always told me in like high school and college that it's not about what you're learning, but learn how to learn, because that's like a lifelong skill to kind of figure out. I don't actually know that I ever figured it out, to be honest. I do remember like the beginning of college, I was like really thorough. So I would read the assigned thing one time and then I would read it again. Mm-hmm. And then I would go back maybe like spot read. And then as I got closer to grad, it just totally fell off and it was just like survive.
Yeah. I'm definitely not a crammer. I can't cram. I'm someone that like if I study, I like to do chapters like per day. Like I'm the one that follows like a schedule every day versus like reading 5 chapters in one night. Mm. One thing I definitely took advantage of in community college and in university was I went to office hours a lot. So when I wasn't understanding things in class, I went to the TA all the time, because there's a way sometimes the TA or the person that is positioning the information that you may not understand the first time. So like they reframe it differently the second time, then I understand it that way. Mm. So I always take advantage of like in-person meetings.
That's a really good piece of advice to give, because like I did not do that and I kind of wish I did, because you also build relationships with people who have had like a lifelong like career also before they become professors, and they could become really good connections for you is what I realized. But for me, I was the crammer, like complete opposite of Mel. I never scheduled it out. I always, like, for every exam, it would be all-nighters studying for 10 hours a day. And then I am really good at retaining information for a short period of time. So I think it depends on like your style and your capabilities of memorizing things. And if you need a longer period of time to really like internalize it, which if I did that, I think I would probably forget it. I would cram everything 24 hours before the exam and then do well. But then like a week later, I'd be like, what did I learn? I don't know. But yeah, I was very thorough and detailed and taking notes too. Interesting how we all learn differently.
Yeah. I think I did a combo. Like, so in the beginning, I was very thorough in that way. And then yeah, towards the end, I have a tendency even in high school to cram a lot. So I would do maybe 2 all-nighters and then just like sleep forever. I actually don't know if that what works better for me.
Yeah, I can't for me, cramming literally just stresses me out. So that's why my brain doesn't retain information that way. Even if I wanted to, I'm like, nope, can't do it.
Next question here. I'll ask this one. What did you guys think about Boston when you were visiting Helen's hometown? And this is under the colleges one, because we went to Boston College.
I think it was cool in many different ways, because I think one, the city of Boston is really like charming and very magical. And I've never really been on the East Coast. So I loved exploring the city, even though we were stressed out trying to figure out your engagement. But I did enjoy walking around. There's no city like it here in the West Coast.
Yeah.
I think visiting your college is a crazy experience because I think Jen and I went to the same university.
Yeah. Right.
So all we know is kind of UCSD. But for me, seeing colleges not in California, because we're really aware of the UC system. And I kind of like picture this young Helen, a time where we didn't know you and that time that you talked about a lot. So to put that location to your stories is really cool.
Yeah. And even like because we went out after the speaking event to like a restaurant and just hearing kind of the stories of the experiences of the students that were there. And then you kind of chiming in and be like, oh, yeah, that or this. It was really like reminiscent. I think it helped us understand you better and then get like an like a little peek into your history. And I agree. Boston is really charming. I had only been there one time before that. And it was like many, many years ago and not in the same like area and neighborhoods, and it was also really cool to meet your family. I feel like more layers of really getting to know you. So
well, we have to go back and spend a little bit longer there because I like really wanted to take you guys to my favorite restaurant is Giacomo's in Boston, and it's like a small family run Italian restaurant, and it's so freaking good, and we didn't get a chance to go, so next time.
Yeah, actually now as we're talking to Helen, there's a sense of light and like bliss when you talk about Boston. So even when you're talking about it, I'm excited to go because you're obviously very excited to show us too. So I'm like, yeah, I want to go because you seem so happy and proud to be from the city. So,
okay.
Sound.
All right, so we are already almost an hour in, and we've only gone through, like, half of the questions that we've composed from the one call-out for Q&As, so I think we might have to split this episode into two. What do you ladies think?
Yes, I think so. I mean, this was great. Like, I loved the conversations that we had just based off of these questions, and we still have other topics to cover, so, yeah, let's do it in another episode.
We'll talk about careers, finances, our style, and a bunch of random questions like what are your boba orders, do you have any pets, and how do you deal with broken dreams?
Ooh. That's a very deep and big question.
Well, thank you so much for listening to part one of Q&A.
If you have not subscribed already, please do so. We are ABG/AsianBossGirl. You can find us on Spotify, iTunes, and all of the podcasting platforms. You can leave us a rating and a review. We love those. Please share with us how you're enjoying or not enjoying our episodes.
God, I hope you're enjoying these.
Don't give that option.
Positive, yeah. Positive messages, please.
We are also active on social media. You can find us at Asian Boss Girl on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you enjoyed part one of the episode, leave a heart emoji in the comments.
Why do we always struggle with outros?
I know. How long have we been doing this for?
And we will catch you on the next episode.
Bye.